One thing to add to that, Brother Steve, is in Matthew chapter 15, which I think speaks, you know, very, very closely to what you were just sharing. Matthew chapter 15, a few verses here. If we start with verse 1. So it says, "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.'" So if we go down to verse 8, which are two verses that are quoted for the book of Isaiah, it says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." And then in verse 10, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Down to verse 13, he replied, "Every plant that..." I'll skip down to verse 15. "Explain the parable to us. Are you..." Verse 16, "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean."
And I would like to go back to the portion that Steve was at in Thessalonians, because these Christians, Paul was only with them for a very short time. I think it was 3 weeks that he was with them. But in every chapter in 1 Thessalonians, you have the thought of sanctification. It's amazing. And the idea that he planted in them, and now he's writing to them, the fact that they need to stay, in a practical sense, separated for God. In chapter 1, he says, "You've turned to God." That is repentance, but it also implies their position now of justification, that they've been declared righteous. He says, "You've turned to God to serve the living God." That's sanctification. And why are we set apart? You know, sanctification is not just to be set apart. If that was the case, we'd all should be in a commune somewhere, set apart for God, so we can stay holy. But sanctification, really, this manner, remember that the priest was washing his hands and his feet. He had a service to do, right? There was work to be done. He wasn't just being set apart so he could stand someplace and say, "I'm holy now." But there was a work to be done, and there's a life to be lived. There's a life for Christ to be lived. So in Thessalonians, he says, "You've turned to God." That's repentance. And then it's also justification, that now you're declared righteous before God to serve the living God. And then, and I'm going to skip over the verses that Steve read, but I want to go to the end of chapter 3, because at chapter 3 then, he says, and this is a little prayer that Paul prays for them, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, "So that he may establish your hearts," and this connects to Craig's point. It's the heart that God is looking for. In the words of the Old Testament, "My son, give me thine heart," right? And so he's not looking for the outward show of things, but he's looking for our hearts. And then he says this, "So that he may establish," or firm up, "your hearts blameless in holiness," sanctification, "before our God and Father," or put it this way, "in his presence," that you are living in his presence, just like the priest was about to go in his presence. This is what he's talking about here. And he says, "before our God and Father," and then he mentions at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you go into chapter 4, and he talks about to walk and to please God. For this, listen to this, in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." You being set apart for God. Not so that you can just say, "Well, I'm holy. I belong to the brethren and I'm holy." No, it's so that there's something to be done. There's a life to be lived. There's service to be had. There's a testimony to be lived out. And there's things to do for the glory of God. And particularly in the tabernacle setting, it's in service for Him. So He says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should, and then He talks about abstaining. Look down at verse 4. He talks about possess your own body as a vessel of sanctification and honor. And then He talks about in verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness, sanctification again. But then in chapter 5, and this is the verse I really want to get us to. In chapter 5, at the end of chapter 5, to kind of sum it all up, Paul says this. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify, set apart you, how? Completely. God is interested in all of you. And He's interested that all of you be set apart for Him. Notice how the verse says. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, right? He says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He says, this business of sanctification, this business of being set apart for the Lord, it has to do with your spirit. That's the part of you that allows you to connect with God in relationship. It has to do with your soul. That's the seat of your emotions. It has to do with your body, that you might present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And so this is a vast, vast subject, and it's very important. And Mark has something to say.
Yeah, I wanted us to sort of remember the context and remember the overall, and it was alluded to by what Tim said, and if something was said, I think it was yesterday, I just want to reiterate it. Remember, this is the tabernacle, and what we've been discovering and rejoicing in and delighting in is what God's invitation is. He wants you and I to commune with Him, to have fellowship with Him. And so let's remember that this matter of washing to be practically cleansed is because, what Tim just mentioned it, we are to accomplish the service of God. And it was mentioned, I think Joe brought this up before us, and it's good to reiterate it, is that we are holy priests first. And if we look at the context and look at Hebrews 10, a verse in Hebrews 10 that sort of connects this whole tabernacle system and sort of brings light to it in order to understand how it relates and connects to our own experience. In Hebrews 10, he says this in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So he gives us the illustration that comes right out of this tabernacle scene, in which in order to accomplish the service of God, in order to draw near, I need to understand God's holiness, but also to understand His provision in that one, in what Christ has done, which is far superior to the offerings in the tabernacle, is that it does purge the conscience. And so you have the brazen altar, the work of Christ as it deals with our conscience, but then also this matter of sanctification where our bodies are washed with pure water so that there is really no hindrance as we enter in as holy priests to enjoy the service that we can enjoy and the fellowship that we can enjoy with God in the sanctuary as well as at the burnt offering, right? Because it's also, they were to wash before they went back to do the burnt offering. Mm-hmm. The burnt offering is that which was holy for God's pleasure. But that doesn't mean that, okay, so we have this upper story experience, and you read later on, it talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. So you might think this is some special occasion type thing that only occurs when we come together for, you know, breaking of bread or for prayer meeting or for the ministry. And so you think it's some special occasion. Well, yeah, maybe it is as we think of it in the sense of a holy priest. But we're also royal priests. And as royal priests, we go out. The priest in Israel, by the way, interesting just from a historical point of view, the priest in Israel not only had his responsibilities as it referred to this service of God, but the priests also lived in the communities of the people, right? The tribes each had to reserve some space in order to house and to give opportunity for the priests to live. And so we are royal priests as well. And as we enter in and enjoy the service of God, the fellowship with God, all of the things that we've been sharing this week, we also come out as royal priests to show the virtues of him who has called us.